listening to the Thornapple Valley Church podcast. Thank you for joining us. Our hope is for you to be encouraged and to connect with God during this message. If you'd like to know more about Thornapple Valley Church, visit tvcweb.com.
Well, hello, everybody. It's good to see you all here in Hastings and everybody in Delton and Middleville. Blessings on you, as well as everybody joining us online. Now, you all know this, all right, but all of us make assumptions. Would you agree with that? We all make assumptions. You'll see something, and then you will have an immediate response. Sometimes it's almost visceral. You'll look at something, and it's like you make assumptions about it. In fact, let's just do something. I'm going to have you do something that's a little different. I want you, if you can, to just try to step outside yourself for a moment. I'm just going to show you a series of pictures, just a few pictures. And what is your gut level response when you see it? We'll just look at these, and we're not going to talk. We're not going to discuss them. You're not making a statement with them. What is it that you kind of assume when you look at it? Let's look at the first one. Here it is, the riot at the Capitol. What's going on the inside of you? You can imagine there's a lot of emotions from a lot of people and a lot of varied emotions, all right? So what is it? What assumptions do you make when you look at that? Here's another one, just a regular, ordinary school. What assumptions do you make? Now, if you're a child, maybe you're like, ugh. If you're a parent right now, you're like, thank you, Jesus. Is there any truth in that? All right, here's another one. What assumptions do you make when you see this? Just a classic church building. Maybe you think back to something bad that happened in your life or some assumption that you make. All of us make assumptions. Now, these things that I've been showing you, they could be fairly heavy. So let's just go a little lighter. What kind of assumption do you make when you look at this? And I said, well, we're not going to talk about these. I'll just tell you the assumption I go to when I see that, you know, immediately. It's like, just joking, all right? I'm just teasing. So one more. And I just want you to think about what you think when you look at this image. What is it when you look at a Bible, what is it that you see? And what we're going to do is we're in this series called Big Questions, and we're going to be asking the question this week around the subject of, is the Bible reliable? Is the Bible reliable? So let's go back to the question. When you look at the Bible, and we just heard some very interesting perspectives, people, how they see it, what they think. What do you assume? When you think about what we would call Scripture, the Bible, what do you assume or what comes up for you? Now, some people who are followers of Jesus, they're going to have like almost an immediate response. It's the precious Word of God, and it speaks to our hearts. And what they mean by that is that they believe it's the written Word that God has given us to live by. And some people would say it's the manufacturer's handbook. God knows how we're made, so He gives us that. Some people would say it's a love letter from God, you know, specifically to us. Some people who are very strong, they might even say, well, I can tell you that if the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Very strong emotions when it comes to Scripture. Of course, you know, I mean, that's not exactly the dominant view in our culture and in our time. More often, people look at the Bible and they think it's kind of a, you know, like a strange book of tales, or it's just some ancient document that really holds no relevance to today. And often it's questioned because, and you heard this already, it can't be trusted because it was so warped by the countless rewritings and interpretations and people changing it from one language to the next. So there are a lot of views when it comes to the Bible. Now, one large group of people, the view they hold, I think would include probably a lot of people who are listening to this talk, whether you're at one of our campuses or you're watching online. And this is the group that I would say, when they think about the Bible, what they feel is guilty. They feel guilty because preachers like me, and I'm going to own this, have said, you should read the Bible. You should have the Bible on the inside of you. The Bible's important. And yet, if they're honest about how they feel about Scripture, it feels intimidating to them. And it feels kind of confusing. And they think, well, I've tried to read it. I just don't get it. It's not rewarding. Like if you're, you know, reading something from social media and you get a little dopamine hit every time you read it. It's not something like that. It's totally different. And so they kind of avoid it. And so every time the Bible comes up, there's just a little bit of guilt on the inside. Like, yeah, I know I should. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I would guess that that's probably a lot of people listening to this talk. And then, of course, there's that little secret that most, even devout Christians, won't really say, at least out loud, and that is where we all have moments where we don't understand it. We just don't. There's certain things you read. Come on, let's just be honest about this. We read the Bible sometimes. Seriously, you read some of the stuff in the Old Testament. Dude, what? Seriously, what? I don't even know. How does that? It's like we can't even comprehend what it means. And yet we're afraid to say something because we don't want, we say we're Christians. Many of us do. And so we don't want people to label us as a heretic or something. So we just kind of keep our mouth shut. Just speaking for me. Now, those of you who know me, I've been doing this for a long time, but I can tell you that sometimes the Bible feels intimidating for me, particularly because people that know me and know I've been a pastor think I have it all figured out, and I don't. I cannot tell you how many times, to stay honest, I've had to say, I don't know. I honestly, I just don't know. And the reason is I can be honest about this. There are people way, way, way smarter than me, scholars, people who have intensely studied this, and they argue with each other 16 different ways about everything, and they still can't agree with each other. And so I have to just be honest sometimes and say, I just don't know. So here we are. We're talking about the question of the Bible's reliability. And so I want to just start by, I think we just need to own some of this stuff. Let's just, first of all, start by being crystal clear. This is my opinion. You can disagree with me and be wrong if you would like to. But this is what I think. I think no one really has Scripture completely figured out. That's what I think. I think there's no one that has it completely figured out and has all the answers. In fact, I'll tell you, and again, this is just my opinion. I think the people that act like they do and think they do, those people make me nervous. Honestly, they do, because I think that people that can't have the intellectual integrity to honestly say some of this stuff I just don't fully understand, I think they tend to become very zealous sometimes and stop looking like Jesus and more like something he doesn't want us to be. And they're shaking the Bible and say, don't you dare question what the Bible says. And what they're really saying is, don't you dare question what I say the Bible says. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like, oh yeah, well that's what you say. And I mean, just let's be clear on this. You can use the Bible to validate almost any kind of statement you want to kill, to hurt, to treat people cruelly, to do terrible things, to defend your bad behavior. All that can be done with the Bible and has been done. I think we have to start talking about this by being very clear on this. The Bible has a lot of perspectives around it, and we don't have every answer on this. So the question that we're considering is the Bible, can it be considered reliable? Is it something more than just a collection of writings that people wrote in ancient days and then through the years have been so twisted and turned because of political motivations or because of somebody's personal motivations, so they change it slightly to adjust it to their view of thinking? Is it something like that that simply cannot be trusted? Is it a highly fictionalized book, as many people say it is? Or is it reliable in that it can speak to us into our lives even today, thousands of years after it was written, all this time down through the ages? Well, first let me say, and I think I've already made this clear, I'm not an expert on this. What I can tell you is the short answer from the Christian perspective. Now let me just back up and say this. We've been in this series where we've been asking these big questions that kind of come at a foundational base around Christianity. And we have not been endeavoring to try to make clones out of anybody that listens to this. We're not trying to say, if you don't believe like we do, if you don't see it like we do, you're stupid or you're wrong. We're not trying to do that. What we are trying to do is to answer these questions from the Christian perspective. So you understand that I'm not going to stand and try to convince you because you have every right to not believe that Scripture has any validity, and I'm not going to try to do that. We're going to come at it from the historic Christian church perspective. And the short answer to that question on the Bible's reliability is yes. Yes, we believe that the Bible is reliable and that God does speak through it even today. We believe that God's word, what we call God's word, the scripture, the Bible, call it whatever you want to, is an inspired message to us. And I know a lot of people say, I mean, I've had these conversations, it's crazy. You think that? It's, how can you trust its reliability? How could you possibly trust it? And I get that. From a purely intellectual standpoint, I get that people would question the validity or even the value of it as it could speak to modern day people, how it does that. But what you need to understand is that for the Christian, and this is very important for you to get, for the Christian, for the follower of Jesus, it ultimately comes back to what we talked about 2 weeks ago. And one of the questions that we asked and then sought to answer from the Christian perspective was, is Jesus really God? Is Jesus God? And you have to understand that the reason we believe Scripture is God's inspired word to us is that we believe Jesus is God, and Jesus believed Scripture was God's word to us. So we're not saying that we believe it because it's just like some magical words, you know, that really makes us feel good every time we read it. Although we believe it is inspired, we believe it is God-breathed, we embrace Scripture because Jesus did. Now, if you read what Jesus said, the words of Jesus, if you read how Jesus treated Scripture, you know that he talked about it, he quoted it, he believed it, and actually said that he fulfilled the Old Testament. And we embrace the New Testament, the Gospels in the New Testament, because they're written by eyewitnesses. They're the accounts of Jesus and his teachings. And of course, even then, people are going to argue that. I understand that. And I just want to back up from this and just say, if you're maybe watching online, you're just going, I just can't believe. You have every right to do that. God does not make you believe that Scripture is his word. Neither does he even make you believe that he is. We have a choice in this. But if you are a follower of Jesus, if you believe that Jesus is God, then what he says is all important to you. So if Jesus said that Scripture is valid and is God's inspired word to us, then we embrace that and we believe it ourselves, because what he says matters more than anything else if you believe he's God. Again, if you weren't here a couple weeks ago, you may want to listen to that talk, because that's foundation to all of Christianity, although all the talks in this series have been really, really good. I love how Andy Stanley says this. It just makes perfect sense to me, and I actually agree with it. He says, when somebody predicts their own death and resurrection and pulls it off, well, we should go with whatever that person says. Now, this isn't Scripture, but this is intelligent. See, this is why we embrace Scripture as God's inspired words to us that speak to us today. Now, there's a massive body of work out there by scholars, by super intelligent people, which speak to the validity and the accuracy and the reliability of Scripture as it's come down through the ages. There's so much out there, but honestly, it's beyond the scope of a message like this. There's no way I'm going to try to dig into the trenches and talk about these kind of things on a service like this. But if you want to know more, and particularly if you're on the front edge of trying to understand Christianity, I would love to recommend even just a couple books to you that I think are really powerful. If you'll contact me, I would be glad to point you in the direction of books which speak to people who are kind of on the front end going, it doesn't all make sense, that are written by brilliant people that will help you kind of take a deeper dive into this if that's what you choose. But what we're about today is simply answering this question, is the Bible reliable from the Christian perspective? And again, the answer is that we believe Scripture is both reliable and inspired. So this is what we're saying. We believe that God speaks through Scripture to us in our lives today. This is something that followers of Jesus believe. If you believe that there is a God, if you believe that Jesus is God, then you will trust. See, this is part of what faith is for a follower of Jesus, is that you will trust that God's big enough that he can reliably bring his word to us down through the ages in an articulate way and keep the validity and veracity of it whole. And that's what we believe. From the Christian perspective, that is what we embrace. In fact, I would contend, this is going to sound a little strong, but I would contend that that really needs to happen. You need to believe that in order for you to be a devoted follower of Jesus. And the reason is that, again, it comes back to that Jesus trusted Scripture. So we trust it. And even when we don't have it all figured out, and if we're honest, all of us would say, I don't, sometimes I read something, I'm just like, what? This doesn't make sense to me. But see, if we can't live with the tension of understanding that we may not always understand it because God, and even how he speaks, is bigger than us, and sometimes it comes as we grow in our relationship with him, if we don't trust God to help us with it and speak to us through it, if we just pick and choose, like, yeah, I like that, but this doesn't make sense in the culture we live in. If you do that, I would contend that the result is not a deeper connection with God, but the result is actually an increasingly distant connection with God. I love how a brilliant author, and he was a pastor in New York City, Timothy Keller, says in his book, in fact, this is one of the books I would recommend. It's called The Reason for God. But he says this when he's talking about Scripture. It's so powerful. He says, if you don't trust the Bible enough to let it challenge and correct your thinking, he asks this question. He says, how could you ever have a personal relationship with God? And then he explains why he says that. In any truly personal relationship, the other person has to be able to contradict you. That has to happen in a relationship. What happens if you eliminate anything from the Bible that offends your sensibility and crosses your will? He says, how will you have a God who can contradict you? And then he answers it. He said, you won't. You'll have essentially a God of your own making. So an authoritative Bible is not the enemy of a personal relationship with God. He says, and I agree with him on this, it's the precondition for it. That actually you need, if you're going to build and grow your relationship with Jesus, once you believe, you need to believe what he believed, that Scripture is legitimate and for us and speaks to us today, and it's part of God's way of speaking to us. The way Paul writes about this, and this is so powerful in 2 Timothy, he writes, every part of Scripture is, would you say the next two words out loud? God breathed. This is very important. God breathed. Remember, how did God bring, he made man out of the dust of the earth, but then he did what next? He breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living being. So all Scripture is God breathed, and it's useful one way or the other, showing us the truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes. There's that contradictive part, because sometimes you need to be contradicted. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you need to hear somebody say to you, dude, no, that does not make sense. That's wrong. You need a God that you can hear say that to you. He says, so it shows us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, and training us to live in God's way. It is God breathed. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says it this way in Hebrews 4:12. He says, for the word of God is alive and active, and sharper than any double-edged sword. There it is again. It's alive. It's God-breathed. It's active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. See, what the historic Christian church believes is that what we have in Scripture is not just an overarching view of mankind with God's connection with him in it. It is not just a roadmap for how to live a good life. It's not just a sage book of good thoughts, although it is all those. What the historic Christian church, what followers of Jesus believe, is that Scripture is actually breathing the breath of God in, so it's alive and it will speak to us in our lives in individual ways to this day, because it's God breathed. God will speak to you. And it doesn't say, I can't tell you how many times this has happened to me. I've never found in the Scripture whether it tells you you should buy that car, lease it, or whether you should avoid it altogether. I've never found in Scripture whether it tells you to buy that house or buy that house. But I can tell you from my own personal experience, and many people listening to this will verify this by their personal experience, that there are those times as you're reading Scripture and you've been struggling with, do I do this? Do I not do this? How is this going to work? How do I address this? And it doesn't say the words, don't buy that house. But as you read it, it's God-breathed. And it's like it speaks into you. And you don't even sometimes always fully understand how it calculates and relates, but it's like you're aware, this is God speaking to me, and I realize now I should not buy that house. Or I should buy that house, or whatever it is. It's astounding to me how much that kind of thing happens. So, we believe that Scripture is not just a book of good ideas. It's not just, here's how you should live your life. We believe that it is a living thing that will speak into our lives in 2021, even in the midst of COVID. Anybody say amen to that as a follower of Jesus? We believe God still speaks through Scripture today, and He speaks powerfully through it. So, having established that, again, not trying to make you agree with us, but telling you the Christian perspective on the Bible, having established that, I want to just kind of turn a corner, because I think if we say, okay, as followers of Jesus, we believe that Scripture is God-breathed, it's inspired, it's for us, it's for today. If we believe that, how then should we live? And I want to just give you some simple thoughts, and these might be worth writing down or thinking about, and they're very simple, but I think they're profoundly important. So if Scripture really is God's breathed, life-giving message to us, what should we do? First thing is you should eat. Now let me explain what I mean by that, is that you need to take it in. You know, there was a time shortly before Jesus entered his full ministry, that he went into the wilderness and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Many of you who have read Scripture, you know this. You know that from the Gospels, this was an experience Jesus had. And at the end of that time, you know that the enemy, what we call the devil or Satan, came to tempt him. And when he did, one of the things that he said was, knowing that Jesus was famished because he'd been so long without food, he said, if you're really the Son of God, excuse me, turn these stones into bread, which Jesus could have done. He could have made food right there out of the stones because Jesus is God. But I want you to see what he said because it's so powerful. This was his response to the enemy. He said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every what? Every word that comes from the mouth of God. In other words, what we have is a direct, really, line from Jesus saying, this is what you need to do. You need to understand, yes, you feed your body. Yes, you take care of yourself. But you feed your soul. And you feed your soul, you feed your spirit through Scripture. It is food for our soul. And I'm kind of pushing this pretty hard, but I would just say, again, I'm talking to followers of Jesus. Eat. You need it. Now, I just want to address those who say, yeah, see, Jeff, here's the deal. I have read it at different times, and most of the time, I just come away feeling sort of confused. I don't get it all. I don't understand it all. And again, I understand your perspective. I've felt that way many times. But here's what I want you to say. Sometimes you feel that way about the food you eat. It's like, it really isn't that rewarding right now. This doesn't taste all that good. I'm not sure we feel like it should be rewarding. And what I'm saying to you is that what you do is you don't live motivated only by what feels rewarding. You live motivated by something higher. My soul needs to be nourished just as my body does, just as my mind does. And so I would just challenge you on this. Read it. Just because it doesn't always feel rewarding. I understand it's not always like reading social media or a novel or watching a movie or something where you laugh and it's just funny and I feel good and oh, that was great. See, that's what people think with Scripture sometimes. It's all supposed to be that all the time. No. Sometimes you just eat because eating feeds your soul. So number one, and this is really huge, eat. Number two, while you're eating, listen. Listen, now, maybe this is just about me and nobody else is like me, but I think I'm probably not alone in this. I think one of the reasons we feel like Scripture is confusing or obscure sometimes is that we have this anticipation that it should just jump out at us and all be obvious and plain and simple and clear and everything. But here's the interesting thing. This is just hear what I have to say on this. I think the reason that God is sometimes obscure, and he clearly is if you've read the Bible. Sometimes you're just like, I don't get it. I don't understand. I think there's a reason for that. I think it's because he wants us to invest in the relationship. He wants us to actually pursue him. He's not giving us a three-point plan on how to live life. He wants us to think. He wants us to listen for what he's saying to us as he's breathed life into it. But if we're not listening, sometimes it just seems obscure. It just seems like, why am I even doing? And if we listen, it isn't always easy. Sometimes what God's looking for is us to press in, because God often says things in a way where you're like, what? Wait, what? And it's there where you need to say to him, I trust you to speak. What is it you want me to hear? What is it you're trying to say to me? And I think that what God wants is for us to use our, he's not looking for dummies. He's looking for people who will think and process and press in to the relationship. If you're a parent, you know this. If you're trying to teach your kid to tie their shoes, first of all, you're a saint. But secondly, what you know is that the first however many times you do it with them, you show them how to do it. You put this loop here, you bring that around, and they're like, can you just tie my shoe? Now, I know some of you are going, teach your kid to tie shoes with Velcro? This is not what you do. But you should. You really should. And when you do it, what you know as a parent is you know that there's going to be times when they're like, I just don't understand. And they don't see the importance of it, and they don't understand how to do it, and they're frustrated by it. And what you know is, they'll get it. They'll get it. Because you keep working with them, and they keep tying until one day, they get it. And God wants us to press in on that relationship with him. So when you're reading scripture, don't just read it. Actually listen for what God's saying. And all the while, you remember that what you're reading is God-breathed. You're not just reading a book. You're not just reading obscure things. You are reading God's message to us. And sometimes you'll read it, and all you do is just read it, and it's just scripture, and I did it, and it didn't feel anything great, and I didn't have any great huge revelations. But I read it, and I ate, and I listened. And sometimes all it does is just feed your soul, and you don't even know how it actually is working. But if you believe that it's God's inspired word that's reliable, if you believe that, it will speak into us. And then let me just give you one more thought on this. So you eat, and while you're eating, you listen. You actually say, God, what do you want to say to me? And can I just stop here for a second before I go to the next one? Because I think sometimes people say, well, it's just all overwhelming. Do you know that you can put on your phone an app, the YouVersion Bible app, and they have so many devotionals where you read just a few words that somebody writes that give clarity to something, you read a few scriptures, and when you do that, you're eating. And some people just like, I'm just so busy, or I just got, there's really just not an excuse. If you believe Jesus is God, if you're a follower of Jesus, he believes scripture mattered. And he said, you don't live by bread alone, but by every what? Word that comes from the mouth of God. So just engage with it. So eat, and while you're eating, listen. And then thirdly, you store it. Again, here's what I mean by this. You do more than just eat and listen. You actually consciously put this stuff down on the inside of you, because this is what happens. When you get it down there and it's lodged in you, you don't have to go, I wonder what God would want here. You have it in you. It's like it's there, and you hear him sometimes when you don't even have a Bible in front of you. You know, because you've stored it down on the inside. This is such a powerful thing. I love how the psalmist in Psalm 119, which is all about the importance of Scripture, but Psalm 119, how the psalmist says in verses 9 and 11 this very thing. So let's take a look at this. He says in verse 9, he says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? In other words, how can I get this life according to the way God would have me do it? He says, by living according to your what? Your word. Now, you jump down to verse 11. He says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I've hidden it there. I've put it down there. I love how Eugene Peterson in the Message paraphrase says verse 11. He says, I've banked your promises in the vault of my heart so that I won't sin myself bankrupt. Is that good or what? I banked it down in here so that I won't send myself bankrupt. This is because when I feed on it, when I eat, when I listen, when I store it, something happens in me when I face things. And we're not going to be perfect. And I don't want to be, you know, pie in the sky. Like, if you just read the Bible and memorize it, your life will be perfect. No, it won't be. And you'll still have times where you're confused and don't understand. This is just real life. But it does something in you. And it is rich and real. And it means something. And I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to, if you're a follower of Jesus. Now, I understand if you're not, you have to figure out, is Jesus God? But once he is, then because he believed it, you need to embrace it. And when you do that, then you eat and you listen and you store it. And I want to challenge you, actually store it. Memorize some of it. You can do that. You can take short chunks and put it inside and store it. In fact, now at all of our campuses, we're going to have a little bit more time of music and worship. And during that time, at the front on tables at all of our campuses, we're going to have a little booklet and also just a little cardstock format. And this the booklet's called Bible Promises for You. And if you would use this, we'd love to give it to you. So if you're not going to use it, don't feel like you have to come and get it. We had to pay for it. So if you're going to use it, then we'd love to give that to you. And during this time of worship, you can come forward. If you're watching online, if you'll just write in the comments, you know, I'd like one, we'll mail it to you. If you're not watching or if you're listening on a podcast, you email us, we'll send it to you. We'd love to do that. And the little cardstock is just verses to keep close to your heart. It's just got, like, for direction or peace. And so if you do this during this time, and I would challenge you to do that, maybe part of this would be, I'll take it and I will say, God, in the next 2 weeks, I will memorize a verse. I will eat and listen and store it in my heart. Because I want what you have to say, which is living, breathed by the creator of the universe. I want that in me. Anybody like that? I want that in me. And so I'll pray. And then at all our campuses, just feel free to come forward and take whatever you'd like. And it's there as our gift to you. So God, now come. Speak to us and open our hearts. So much we need you. So much we need you. So we say, come, Lord Jesus. Speak to us.
Thank you for listening to the Thornapple Valley Church podcast. If you found this message encouraging, we invite you to share it. For more information, visit tvcweb.com.